Good morning, everybody. Chodesh Tov. Ezrat Hashem, it should be a month of Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. I'd like to ask you to please turn off your phones. And also would like to thank our sponsors for today. We have a special sponsor for today, as we have every year pretty much at this time. Miriam Marcus has sponsored the shiur in memory of her beloved mother, Liba Pesha Bas Nachum, who was Nifteris 7 years ago on the 7th of Av, and also in memory of her grandfather, Nachum Ben Moshe, whose yahrzeit is on Tisha B'Av, and who passed away 69 years ago. And I was privileged to know Miriam's mother just a little bit, and really benefited a lot from every one of those meetings with her. And please God, our learning today should be an aliyah for their neshamas, and a yeshua for Klal Yisrael. I'd like to thank our general sponsor for the whole of 2024, to the academic year, the shirim sponsor, Le'ilu Nishmois Brana Bas Brandit, and Zeli Ben Kalman, Aleihem HaShalom. So we have a shir next week, please God. There's no shir next week? Okay, well, that's good to know, because I will be here talking to myself, no doubt. Okay, fine. So I'll take your word for it that there's no shir next week. I'm quite happy to give a shir, so if you want to come to Alan Shvut, that's no problem. But please do whatever it says in the book. And then in Elul, we will reconvene Be'ezrat Hashem in our new Shinui Mokum, and hopefully move on from there. Now, please do... I'm going to be speaking on a Wednesday. Rabbi Adler is going to speak on a Wednesday as well. So, and I don't know exactly the rest of the lineup for the week, but I'm going to be in Bet Knesset Hanassim. But on these things, I'm just doing what I'm told, basically, and I'll go where I go, and hopefully other people will come there too.
On Wednesday,
I will be on. That's for sure, because Monday's now. I'm doing something else next year.
At the same time.
At the same time, 10:15. Be'ezrat Hashem. Now, please do not despair at the width and the thickness of this sheet. We really will be starting from page 5. I did debate with myself whether to include pages 1 to 4 or not. Really, we should have had two more shiurim on that, but I decided I couldn't put you through another shiur on this topic next week as well, without even knowing that we don't even have a shiur next week. So my kavana was obviously good. The first four pages, which I will summarize very quickly, are here because they are raised by many of the tshuvas, and the analyses of this issue do go into these questions that come up in the first four pages of sources. And as I say, it really is another shiur. And that shiur is on the mitzvah of tefillah and on women's involvement in the congregation, in the tzibur, which is part of this question of women saying Kaddish. So I will very briefly summarize what I put on the first four pages. I will not go into any of the sources in depth. But it's important that we know about it, and then we can jump in from page number 5. There is a mitzvah to pray, to turn to God, to talk, to explain, to ask in our lives for things for God. There is a famous debate between the Rambam and those who are with him, and the Ramban and those who are with him, as to whether this mitzvah is essentially a Torah mitzvah or not. The Rambam understands, based on the Sifrei, that there is a mitzvah in the Torah, one of the 613, of Avodah Shebelev, when it says, Ve'ula avdo b'chol levavchem. The Rambam understands that this Avodah Shebelev is us turning to God, to praise God, to request our needs from God, etc. And he understands that to be a Torah mitzvah. The Ramban, Nachmanides, responds quite famously and says, no, I understand that Sifrei to be an asmachta, that is a rabbinic mitzvah. There is a Torah mitzvah to turn to God in times of tsar, in times of trouble. That's a separate mitzvah. Maybe the Rambam understood that every day for the Jews was a time of tsar, which is an interesting debate. And there is another mitzvah. This mitzvah of Avodah Shebelev is the mitzvah to have kavanah, meaning when we turn to God in prayer, we must do so with a focus and a kavanah. But the actual obligation to pray, he says, is rabbinic, to pray every day. So there is that starting debate. In terms of women's obligation to pray, so the Rambam paskens that since this is a Torah mitzvah which has no fixed time, there is a general mitzvah to pray whenever, wherever. So women are of course obligated in that mitzvah because it's a mitzvah ashe, Shalai Asaran Gramat is not a positive time-bound mitzvah. Women are obligated. But they're not obligated in anything very specific. It's any prayer, any time, anywhere. And the Shulchan Aruch goes in that mode and says women are in essence obligated to pray. The Magen Avraham brings down quite famously that there was a minhag of Jewish women for centuries that they wouldn't necessarily pray all the fixed amidot. They would say tchinot and different prayers. That's based on that shita. However, the Ramban, who said there's a rabbinic mitzvah to pray, so he said, in theory, women should be exempt from that because it's a positive, time-bound rabbinic mitzvah. He says, but since women are in need of rachamim, no less than men are in need of rachamim, Chazal said women are also obligated to pray. They're included, unusually, in that mitzvah. So according to the Ramban, which the Mishnah Berurah mentions and brings down, many people go like that, women are not able to just pray anytime, any place, anywhere. They're included in the general mitzvah of Shmona Esrei. They have to pray an Amida in the morning, an Amida in Mincha, not Maariv, because Maariv, even for men, technically, is Rashut, it was adopted later. But there you have the debate on prayer and the debate on women in prayer, and I brought you that. There's a lot more to say on this, but it's a starter. On the issue, and this is more central to what we're looking at, of women in the community, so there are many sources that say that prayer in the rabbin, prayer in the tzibur, is much more powerful than just individual prayer. And the question is, what is a tzibur? Rav Soloveitchik quite famously made a distinction, I mean, he bases it on very clear sources, between tefillah b'tzibur, praying together with the tzibur, which is basically when we pray our individual Shmona Esrei prayer, we take three steps forward and we pray together with everybody else. That is tefillah b'tzibur. And he distinguished that from tefillat ha-tzibur, which is when the shaliach tzibur stands up and does a prayer, leads a prayer of all of us together. He says, that's a different kind of prayer. That's not just the shliach tzibur being moitzi me, saying something and I'm listening and being yotze, technically fulfilling my obligation. He is leading a different kind of prayer, which is tefillat ha-tzibur. And there's a lot we could say about that distinction, which is, again, not really on our focus. The way that women fit into that is actually very interesting, because women form part of the tzibur. There's no question about that. Women are, if a woman takes three steps forward and prays the Shmona Esrei together, her silent Shmona Esrei together with the tzibur, that is tefillah b'tzibur for her as well. Whether she's obligated to come to shul to have tefillah b'tzibur is a different question. How much men are obligated to do tefillah in a minyan is another question, which I'm not getting into now. But she is clearly fulfilling tefillah b'tzibur, and she's also part of hatzibur. When the shliach tzibur leads the minyan and leads the shul, she is part of that shul. And in fact, when we're talking about the role of a rabbin, Chazal often use the word farhesia, something public. Women are often included in that. And I brought on the sheet, you don't need to look at it now. There are five or six areas which are not technically anything to do with minyan. For example, the requirement of a tzibur of 10 in order for the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. God forbid someone has to die al Kiddush Hashem. It's mitzvah to do that, but rabbin. So it could be that women add up to make up that quorum of 10. It's not necessarily minyan based. The mitzvah to read the Megillah in a tzibur. It could be that women also make up that quorum. And the nafkamin, one of the implications is, do you make the bracha haravet rivenu? Haravit Reveinu, which we say at the end of the Megillah, is only done if Megillah is done in public, not in private. So if you have a woman's Megillah reading, do you read that bracha or not? I'm not getting into all the details. For Birkat HaGomel, also, could you have 10 women? I'm not getting into psak here on woman making a bracha of HaGomel. The mitzvah to do Bris Milah in a tzibur, if you can. Does that include women as well? Chanukah lighting in a tzibur. And I brought you on, and again, I'm just teasing you with all of this, because this is not really what we're talking about. No, the idea of doing Bris Milah in public, not in private. What makes up a public in order to be a public expression of the mitzvah of Bris Milah? That's the question. And if you're interested in this, Rabbi Aryeh Frimer wrote a very important article on this in the 90s. Actually, I think it was a bit later than the 90s. No, 89, excuse me. It was earlier. I'm losing track of time. Called Women and Minyan. And I brought you a reference to that on the sheet. He goes through all of those. He brings all the achronim and all the rishonim that talk about whether women do make up a quorum, yes, no, on these. However, it is absolutely... Yes, sir?
I'm thinking a minion of women for Bris Milah.
Well, don't use the word minion, because minion we're going to come up to. A quorum, let's use the quorum.
Especially There has to be one male there.
Yes, there has to be a baby there for sure. whether women are able to be male is a good question. We get into Tzipora, but that's not for today. Correct. He doesn't, for sure, doesn't make up the mini and the baby. However, it is absolutely clear, and there is no debate on the question, that when you're talking about a minion, a technical minion to make prayer for a Davasheba Kedusha, women are not part of that minion. Women do not count towards a minion. There is no debate on that. And I brought you on the sheets a number of reasons why that could be. It could either be because of more technical derivations. The Gemara derives the need for 10 adult males to read a Davasheba Kedusha, which we think of as Kaddish and Baruch Hu and repetition, laying, etc. The Gemara derives it from the 10 spies. Through a series of derivations, the 10 spies, leaving aside Kalev and Yeshua, the 10 bad guys, were definitely men, and they were definitely over Bar Mitzvah. The Yerushalmi derives it from the sons of Yaakov, the 10 sons of Yaakov that went down to Egypt to find Yosef. They were also male, a little bit more positive than the spies maybe. They were also male, they were also over Bar Mitzvah. There are other ways of deriving that only men may be part of a minion. When it says, V'nikdashe b'toich b'nei Yisrael, maybe it's b'nei Yisrael and not b'nei Yisrael, and there are other ways as well. And that brings us to our conundrum, which is that women and Kaddish, you have these conflicting pulls, and this is where I really want to start. On the one hand, women are part of the tzibur. On the other hand, women do not count for the minion to make up what it takes in order to say Kaddish. Everybody agrees on that. There's no debate on that. And there are, again, technical reasons and maybe more fundamental reasons why that is. We didn't go through it all. This is not a shir on women and minion. On the other hand, how many hands are there? Quite a lot here. With the mitzvah of Kaddish is v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, and women are obligated in that mitzvah. So women do connect with that mitzvah, not quite the same way as men, but not in a totally different way. And Kaddish of a mourner as a mitzvah of kibud av v'eim, so a woman's obligation in kibud av v'eim for her parents is no different for a man's obligation of kibud av v'eim for his parents. In principle, there are slight differences for the woman is married, but not for our purposes. So what are we going to do with Kaddish? Because we have a problem. We saw last time that mourner's Kaddish evolved through the time of the Rishonim, and it was designed specifically for those people who were unable to lead the davening as the Shliach Tzibur, either because they were unable, the Mishnah Berurah brings out, they just didn't have their skill, or because they were children. That's why we call it Kaddish Yatom. And Yatom doesn't just mean in the language of, you know, Chazal, it doesn't just, oh, here the Rishonim, it doesn't just mean an orphan. We're not talking about, we're looking at a 75-year-old man whose parents are no longer alive. I don't think we're talking about him as a Yatom. A Yatom usually means a young child. Exactly what age? Let's say below Bar Mitzvah. So a child is able to say one of these Kaddishim in order to act, as it were, as the Shliach Tzibur, even though he's not able to formally lead the prayers. Now, what's interesting is the one Kaddish, at least for Ashkenazim, which was designated for the Avelim, is the Kaddish after Aleinu. And that is one of the 7 Kaddishes which the community has to say every day. Again, at least we talked about that last week for Ashkenazim. So you have this interesting conundrum that you have a child, let's say, leading this Kaddish after Aleinu, when it's one of the Kaddishim that we have to have in the Tzibur, and he wouldn't have been allowed to do it in front of the Tzibur, but there's a special dispensation. So how does this relate to women? Because women seem to fit that category. They're not able to lead it from the front, for all the technical reasons that we didn't go into in great detail, but they do form part of this mitzvah, and that Kaddish may be appropriate for them for many reasons. So let's have a look. Now go to page 5. That was an introduction, a tad longer than I wanted it to be, but we have so much to go through today. We're going to be looking into Minhagim and accounts of Minhagim. I'm glad Rabbi Adler is here to cover that he stayed for the shir. I'm sure he's going to have things that I didn't put on the sheet, Masoras from the Rav and from other people. So I'd love it if he is able to jump in if I say anything wrong or if there's anything to add which is needed. This starts, and there's a lot of very fascinating tshuvas, mostly from Ashkenazim. We'll see. We'll see the Sfaradim chime in on this and say, well, if this is a minhag, it's an Ashkenazi minhag, it's not our minhag. And we'll see if that goes through to the modern period as well. But the starting point on this is number 24. So let's turn to number 24. Before the Chavos Ya'ir, we'll talk about him in a second, before the Chavos Ya'ir, there is no real mention of Kaddish for women. And of course, Kaddish for mourners bichlal was developing through the period of the Rishonim. There is a Ramah that deals with the question of if somebody's parents died and they didn't realize they were dead, do you have to tell them that their parents died, or is that your obligation to tell them so they can do public mourning and things that they need to do? And the Shulchan Aruch says, you don't need to tell them. And the Ramah chimes in and says, if it's a man, you do need to tell them because they have to know to say Kaddish. But if it's a woman whose parents died, you don't have to tell them because she's not going to be saying Kaddish. So there you see an indicator, early days, that according to the Ramah in Krakow in the 16th century, women were not saying Kaddish in his orbit anyway. But let's look at number 24. This is a famous case. Rav Yair Bachrach is a very interesting person. He wrote a tshuvas called the Chavas Yair. It was named after his grandmother Chava, which is very interesting, you know, a trivia question. Also how trivial it is. It's very special that he named it after his grandmother. He lived in the 1600s, in the late 1600s, in Germany. And he says there's a Shaila, 24. Davar Zar Nase ba'Amsterdam. And that's a great way to start. There was a strange thing that happened in Amsterdam. Now, I don't exactly know when this happened. I assume in the late 1600s. And I don't know, and I tried to do a bit of research. I didn't get far enough in. You'll see I did a lot of research, but this far I didn't get to know which shul it was in Amsterdam. The main shul in Amsterdam were the Esnoga shul, which was the Sephardi shul in Amsterdam. But I have a feeling that this was the Ashkenazi community in Amsterdam, which was kept, you know, to the side by the Sephardim. But I suspect it was them, A, because they're talking about the Kaddish issue, which the Sephardim were not dealing with, and B, because they went to the Chavas Yair for a psak, as opposed to the Sephardi Chachamim. But I can't know that for sure. Well, before some sham, it was very well known, this strange thing. She'echad ne'edah b'li ben. A man never passed away without a son, and before he died, he gave a command, he gave an instruction, that he would leave money for 10 men to learn Torah in his house for 12 months after his death. And after the learning, the daughter would say Kaddish. And nobody in the Amsterdam community objected to this. The Parnasim and the Chachamim, by the way, the Parnasim, the Gabayim, as it were, the Gvirim in the Amsterdam community, really ran the show there. The rabbis kind of often did what the Parnasim instructed them to do. When Spinoza was put into Cheirem, it was the Parnasim that were signing on the bottom of the Cheirim for Spinoza just before this, but and also the Chachamim. But anyway, the Parnasim and the Chachamim had no problems. The Avki ain't raya listor hadava, and I have no reason to say this is completely wrong. Ki gam ishim mitzuveis al kiddush Hashem, because a woman is commanded in the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. Why is a woman not commanded in kaddish hakaman? It's the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. The gam yishmini zacharim, and there is a minion of men. Meaning, no one suggests that you can make a minion of women. For this, we'll see maybe a sort of strange outlying case a bit later on. Mikre b'nei Yisrael, and this is called b'nei Yisrael, you've got a minion, it's fine. The Avki Masid Rebbe Akiva Shemimenu Makor Amiris Hisomim Kaddish Ben Zachahaya, and even though the Midrash we saw last week of Rebbe Akiva, where he, the man, remember the ghost who was schlepping wood, and Rabbi Akiva said, "What's your sin?" And he said, I need someone to say Kaddish for me." Even though it says that was a son that said Kaddish. And as Pisvara, you would say that what's the difference if it's a son or if it's a daughter? Does the child will give a merit to the parents? And why do I care if it's a son or why do I care if it's a daughter? Now, you could argue with that. And we'll see soon the Sfaradim argue that. And we say, no. The Kabbalistic idea here is it was a boy, and it's Dafka a boy, and it's not a girl. And actually, there's even a support from the story. Do you remember the story? The man came with talked to Rav Akiva, and he said, "I left my wife pregnant when I died, and I don't know if she had a boy or a girl." Now, according to the Chavas Yair, well, why do you care? It sounded from that story, at least, if we can be medayik in Midrashim, which we probably can't, but if we could, that maybe it has to be a boy. But the Chavas Yair says, no, I don't know why it has to be a boy. Maybe it could be a girl. However, so far he sounds as though he's going to be okay with the Kaddish. Mikol makom, yesh l'chusha al yidei kach yichshu koyach hamin hagim shel b'nei Yisrael. I don't like this idea of this woman saying Kaddish, this young girl, because it's going to weaken the minhagim of the Jewish people. Shegam kein Torah heim, and our minhagim are Torah. And the Marashal actually says that the minhagim of Kaddish take on a din of a din tarud, a din drabono. I brought you a reference later for this marasha and the Yamshel Shlomo. So now when a man says, you know, oh, I don't really want to say Kaddish for my parents. It's only a minag and I don't really feel like it. I'm sorry. That's minag Yisrael. You have to say Kaddish. And he says, therefore, Amin Hagim. We don't play fast and loose with Amin Hagim. They're Torah. If we allow this to go, this woman saying Kaddish, everyone's going to build their own bama. Meaning, you're not going to have public minhagim. Everyone's going to go off and do their own thing. Api svarasai, everyone's going to have their own svara. Umechsi mili de rabbanin kechucha atluna. And the rabbinic system, the halachic system, is going to look like a joke. Kechucha atluna means it's going to look like a mockery. Everyone's going to be doing their own thing. But you have all a zilzul by it. And there'll be total breakdown. It will lead, there's a slippery slope in the bad direction. We'll talk about the slippery slope later. Well, l'chein benidon sheyesh asif or pirsam, and now in this very public case, where they're making this breaker with minyan, yesh limchos. I'm not going to allow it. You have to stop it. Now, what was he so upset about? Was he upset that it was a woman saying Kaddish? Maybe. Although he did say that, in principle, I don't have an issue with women saying Kaddish, although I'm not going to allow this. Or was he upset because he was a breakaway minyan? Meaning there is a point here that if, don't forget, back in those days when Kaddish was very carefully appointed according to a hierarchy, and you go to shul, you're competing with all the other guys as to who's going to say Kaddish. If you make your breakaway minyan and then you get seven Kaddishes a day, 365 days of the year, you're basically jumping the queue. You're saying, I don't want to, you know, compete with all these other guys in shul for Kaddish. I'm going to make my own minyan, do my own Kaddish. So there is an element maybe that he's unhappy about that as well, and yeah, everyone's doing their own thing and it's going to be a mockery. And rabbis tend to be unhappy about breakaway minyan. And COVID kind of made this more of something they couldn't resist, as it were. But there seems to be no question that he's also concerned about the women's angle as well, although in principle he didn't have a problem. So how you read this tshuva is very interesting. Do you read it that women aren't allowed to say Kaddish? Or do you read it that women are allowed to say Kaddish? But in his community, in his context, in the late 17th century, in Germany, in Europe, whatever, in Amsterdam, he felt it was a bad idea. It's bad for the community. It's bad for the... It's like a policy decision. Which way are you going to read it? You could read it in both ways. Yeah?
You mentioned the 1600s. There was a lot going on. And maybe the question is, is he talking about having different
minhagim
in one place?
Yes.
Or having different places happening?
It's a good question. I also had that thought. Is there a context here in Amsterdam? Is this part of the post-Spinozan tumult that's going on? I don't know whether it's... He's in Germany. I think he's unhappy in Germany. But it's interesting, in Amsterdam, whoever he's talking about didn't seem to mind. Okay. So that's one tshuva. Fast forward about 50 or so years. Look at number 25, maybe 100 years. The Shlus Yaakov, Yaakov Reisha, in Germany in the early 1700s. Now, this is quoted as a very famous tshuva. He says as follows, Nifta Ishecha, there's a man that passed away. V'loi hayalo ki im shtei banot ketanot. He had two small daughters. V'hagdola shebehem, he bat arbashanim. And the older of these two daughters was only 4 years old. So two very small daughters. U'bashad cholyam, and when he was sick, Tziva Elai, this is the Rav writing to Rav Reisha. The Rav of the community is writing a question to the senior Posek. So the Rav says, the man asked me, he told me, She'etin lo hatara, I should give him a heter, She'bito ha'gidoy l'toma Kaddish, that the older of the two little girls, the four-year-old, should say Kaddish. The Leiber beis ha'knesses klal, but not in shul, but in a private minyan. And now the father of the man who died, the grandfather of the little girl, Loima Kaddish, he wants to come and say Kaddish al benoy for his son, Bebeta Knesset in Shul, Imshar Avelim, with the other Avelim. And how do I know that this father has a right to say Kaddish for the son? We saw that the son has this special power to get the parents out of Gehenna, or to, let's be more positive, to push them up through Gan Eden. Who says the father has a power for the son? So what's really going on in this Shaila is a twofold Shaila. There's a little girl who wants to say Kaddish in a private, well, she doesn't want to do anything. She's being told to say Kaddish in a private minyan. And there's a grandfather who says, okay, they're doing their mishigas in the minyan, but I'm going to come to shul, and I want to have one of the Kaddishes in shul. Now, most of the tshuva of Rav Reisha is about the grandfather. I cut out most of the tshuva.
He's mostly dealing with, can we give the grandfather a schutz to join in the Kaddish Hishul or not? And then he says at the end, here look at number 25 when it says tshuva, b'nidon shelefaneinu, and again I've skipped all the stuff about the grandfather, shikfar hiniach bat she'omerit Kaddish. He's already left the little girl saying Kaddish. It's a done deal. Bye-bye, it's in the house, in the private minion, etzel minion. Ki bebet ha-kneset, bevadai elaniach laloim ha-kaddish klal. And by the way, he says, in shul, there's no way that this little girl would have been allowed to say kaddish. But in the minion, it's already a fait accompli. V'nira degam le'inyin ha-tfilah, yesh la'avel le'hitpali rak bebayit etzel ha-minion. And I think the grandfather should go with the home minion, or merit about kaddish with his granddaughter who's saying kaddish, aval b'shah tfilahs v'kaddishim, elahem schut. He says the grandfather can't muscle in on the Kaddishes in the shul. They're having a minion already. Let him daven with the granddaughter. Let him daven in the private minion. Let him say Kaddish together with the granddaughter. Okay, end of tshuva. Well, what does that tell you about women and Kaddish? Anything? Something? There are different ways to read this tshuva as well. Some of them, we'll see, the Rav Chaim HaLevi of Tel Aviv, Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv, he reads this tshuva that Rav Reisha didn't deal with the issue of the granddaughter because he doesn't have a problem with that. Obviously, it's fine. As long as she doesn't say it in shul. One second, I've got a lot to do. And we'll see why he has a problem saying it in shul. So he reads it and says that it's absolutely fine. It's not even controversial that the granddaughter says Kaddish in a private minyan. Not even a question. His real question was the grandfather. Other people read this tshuva and say, look, Rav Reisha was just presented with the granddaughter as a fait accompli. He wasn't even asked to shayla. He was told she's saying Kaddish. Now, what about the grandfather? Yes or no? So maybe if you'd have asked Lechatchila about the granddaughter, he would have said, you know something, I'm not into this whole private menu with the granddaughter either. So again, it's always a problem when you're learning tshuvas. They're talking about a very specific scenario. How do you learn out to other scenarios which are not quite the same? I just need to go on a little bit because you'll see, there will be time for questions, please God, although I can't promise that, but I hope there will. Okay, fine. So that's the second tshuva. A third tshuva, the Mata Ephraim. I'm giving you the pre-20th century picture. The Mata Ephraim, who's Rabbi Ephraim Margolius, living in Poland, late 1700s, early 1800s. It's often a sefer which is used around Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur time, a lot of dinim of the Chagim, the Yamim Noraim. So he says as follows. Mi she'ein lo banim, someone who has no sons, rak bat. And this is, by the way, this is not tshuva. This is his halacha sefer. Someone only has a daughter. V'tziva lifnei petirasa she'ilmedu asara bebeisoi, and he commands that they should have a minion in the house. And again, we'll see soon why it's always the house. B'scharam, and they'll pay for a minion in the house. V'acha alimud tama abas kaddish, and after the learning, the daughter will say kaddish. Ein lishmo'alo. I don't think it's allowed at all. Don't listen to the father. And you should object to it and stop it. And then he has a hierarchy of gradually worse and worse scenarios. If it's a little girl in the house, don't let it happen. She certainly shouldn't start saying Kaddish as part of a tefillah service. Because don't forget, all the cases so far, well certainly the Chavos Yair and this one, have been learning in the house. So what's the little girl saying? She's saying Kaddish to Rabbanon. Which is actually quite impressive that a four-year-old is going to say Kaddish to Rabbanon, because I know plenty of grown men who have enough problems saying Kaddish to Rabbanon. But she's going to teach her to teach. So it's not a service. It's a learning. It's a bet midrash. He says, all the more so, I don't want it to be part of tefillah. That's absolutely not okay. V'afilu in pnuya asura, even if she's single, all the more so if she's married. I don't want married women saying Kaddish. Certainly not a part of a tefillah. Umikal shekein. And the worst case of all is if she's a woman, a grown woman, a married woman in shul, and you can hear her Kaddish. That, he says, is absolutely not acceptable. But I read his Kaddish, bein the beis haknesses, bein the minyan. I don't care whether that's in shul or whether that's at home. That is absolutely not allowed. We'll see in a minute what his problem is. Ella im tirtza l'schut l'zakot et ha'aviyah, if she wants to l'skot et ha'aviyah, if she wants to give a merit for her father, why she need to say Kaddish, he said. What's more important, saying Kaddish or answering Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba? We should know that from the last two shiurim. Answering Yehi Shmei Rabba is the whole point. That is the mitzvah, public Kiddush Hashem. If she wants to give a merit to the parent, let her answer Kaddish in shul. How many men and women, but certainly women, many, many women in shul do not answer to Kaddish. Maybe they don't know exactly what to say. Maybe they don't think it's for them to say. But they should, and they must. They need to. What's that? Kol ish, that's not why the name's ring, okay? And therefore he says she should be very careful to answer to Kaddish, okay? Bein bebeit haKnesset, bein beminyan. La ta'os naz ba'amiris Kaddishim, la'anos amein b'kavona ritzuya. V'yodei machshavos yachshav la ki'ilu amra k'kama mitzvah. And even though the father told her to say Kaddish, he'll be okay in Shamayim, she's doing the right thing, she's listening to Kaddish, she's saying amein yehesh me'rab. So you see here the matter Ephraim is pretty negative. He won't let it happen, and there's a sliding scale of this is worse than this, and this is worse than this. And the worst of all is for a woman to have a voice heard in shul saying Kaddish in the shul. Now, why, just for a second, why is it worse to say Kaddish in shul? All of these cases have been saying shul for sure not, but a minyan we can talk about. And it might not be necessarily what you think. There are two issues with saying Kaddish in the shul that you may or may not have thought about. Issue number one is that back in those days, only one person said Kaddish. So if you're talking about a woman saying Kaddish in shul, she is going to be the one who is allocated that Kaddish. They didn't have a situation where everybody said Kaddish together. So you could already say, well, whatever they said about that today, that's not the case. The woman is saying Kaddish together with a group of men. We'll talk about what if there's no men saying Kaddish, but there for sure she was saying Kaddish on her own. That's number one. Whereas in the minyan in the house, she's still saying Kaddish on her own, but it's a more private setting. But number two, and don't forget, this was a very important point, which many of the tshuvas go into. Most shuls in those days in Europe did not have an Ezras Nashim, and if they did, it was not like the Ezras Nashim we have today. They either had no Ezras Nashim at all, so the women would walk into the back of the shul, of the men's section, there was only one section, and say Kaddish there. Or they had an Ezras Nashim, which is a completely separate room with a window, either in the wall or over the top with a little skylight that would look down. And according to many poskim, there is no minyan in that room. It is not considered part of the minyan because it's an entirely separate reshut. It's an entirely separate domain. And I brought you in the footnotes, the Orach HaShulchan Paskins, that if there's an Ezras Nashim, which is like that, then the woman is not in the minyan. And therefore she can't say Kaddish, because there's no minyan there. Now, today the matzav is very different. Almost every shul in North America, Rav Yehuda Henkin talks about this a lot in his tshuva in B'nai Banim, says shuls today are constructed in a way that there is one roof that goes over the Ezras Nashim and the Ezras Gvarim or Anashim or whatever you want to call it. And there is a connection between the two, and therefore the women, even if there's a curtain, even if there's a solid mechitza, the women are in the minyan. And therefore this is not the same. So just be aware that that is an issue which was a main concern, which may be less so today. Okay, so what have we had so far? Chavas Yair said, yes in theory, no in practice. The Shvus Yaakov said, yes in practice, only in the private minyan. The Matzah Ephraim said, no, never, and certainly not here, and even worse there, and even worse there. Okay? I brought you on the top of page 6, I'm not going into it in detail, but the Alef Lamata, which is the Rav Margolis' notes on the bottom, he brings the reasons why he's so against the women saying Kaddish in shul, and he says his real issue is tzniut. And look at what he says. I'm just going to read two lines of this. Number 27. Lefi anias daiti. Bizman azeh deshchir pritzusa. There's so much pritzus, there's so much lack of tzniut in the world today. Now, again, I don't know whether that was a specific problem in Poland in the late 18th century, or whether this is something that all rabbis always say when they get up and talk about these issues. Maybe, and maybe that's not bad, maybe that's not right, I'm not sure. But I never heard a Rav stand up and talk about sneers and say, Baruch Hashem, we don't have an issue with sneers anymore. But like, I don't want to talk about, everyone always starts that we have a major problem. But maybe there was a problem. And by the way, in Poland, you should know, with the Frankists, there really were major problems. Problems that would make your hair stand on end if you knew what they were. They make everything that happens today fade into almost insignificance. But that's a separate issue. I can't prove that that's what he's talking about. But he says there's so much preachers today. We can't have this woman saying Kaddish. Even in our house. Even after learning and not a prayer service. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about Kol Isha. Meaning he's very clear that if he has a problem of tzniut, it's not Kol Isha. Why is it not Kol Isha? Number one, who says she has to sing it? Number two, even if she sings it or chants it, who says that chanting Kaddish is a problem of Kol Isha? And a lot of sources which I didn't bring on this. For example, Chazal, when they talk about women being called up for an aliyah,
say that in theory, women are part of the, in Gemara and Megillah, part of the seven aliyot, which those days they would be called up and would learn, read from the Torah. But we do not call women up to the Torah now, in Shul, because of Kavod HaTzibur. I'm not getting into now what of Kavod HaTzibur. But it's noteworthy that it doesn't say we don't call women up because of Kol Isha. Meaning, if it wasn't for the issue of Kavod HaTzibur, it sounds like there wouldn't be a problem of the woman chanting because of Kol Isha, unless you say that Kol Isha is the Kavod HaTzibur, which doesn't sound like it's that way in the sugya. He said it's not Kol Isha, so what's its problem? He says the problem is that you've got a woman singing or saying, and all the men are listening. And all the men are focused on that woman. And he says, and I don't think the women should be raising their voices. I don't think it's appropriate, and the men are going to have hirhurim. The men are going to start focusing on the woman, especially if it's unusual that the men are going to start getting into the wrong mode of thinking in the shul. Now, you might turn around and say, well, why should women not be allowed to do things just because men can't keep their head together? That's a good question, and I can recommend a book on sneers that you might be interested in reading that talks about those issues. And it's a good question, and definitely the approach maybe was a bit different then. You might also turn around and say, yeah, that was in the 1800s and 1700s. Today, if a woman starts saying Kaddish and Shul, the men are not going to think it's strange. Well, I've got news for you. They really are in most places. Most shuls in the world, if women stand up and say Kaddish, the men are going to be very perturbed by it and usually behave quite badly, which is very unfortunate because that's not how they should be behaving. And that's a separate question. But you should just know his issue here is one of tzniut. That's the main question. Okay, fine. Weiter. Rav Elazar Fleklis was a student of the Noi Bishop Yehuda in Prague, and he says some interesting things. Look at 29. Let's go to 29. First of all, he says, he's faced with the question of woman saying Kaddish. Hein emet da ha-kaddish himi pat kvod av. The reason that you say Kaddish is kibud av ein. And he quotes from the ancient Ashkenazi minhag, Maharam Mintz, and it says, if you do the mitzvah of kibud av ein, we promised long life. And then he says, ki gavri boi chai, v'nashi loi boi chai. The men need long life, but women don't need long life. Meaning, if this is something that's a merit that will give you long life and your parents an aliyah, so why shouldn't the women be included in that, in theory? Ya'an da'ilahem likshot et atzman. Is it enough that women just wear their jewelry? They can just look pretty? That's not enough. What zchus are they going to have? They need a zchus as well. And their zchus is going to be mitzvah oriented. But, again he says, but not in shul. Not in shul. But in theory, I have a problem, he says, with the women saying Kaddish in the following scenario. And look at number 30. And I brought you this in the old wiggly squiggly bad old print just to make you appreciate how good things are these days. And also because I didn't get the chance to copy it out from a better source. But let's read it together because he says a fascinating thing. Aval, he says, Raflekis, at the end of the 1800s, 1700s in Prague. Aval re'iti ba'kila kadosha Prague. I've seen in Prague. Minag yafa. A very good minhag, mehakadmoinim, an ancient minhag, be'ezras beis hakneses klauser, in the Klausen Shul. The Klausen Shul is a shul in Prague. You can go and visit it. Okay, I've seen in the courtyard what happens there. Sham yashu zakenu zakenas, men and women together. No mechitza because it's not shul; it's outside. The men and the women sit. Ivrim upischim nebach, the blind, the lame. Bishachrit ad esaraim, from morning till noon. The Omrim b'chol yom kol sefer tehillim, and they say every day sefer tehillim. The noigi mishaloi iniach acharav banim, and someone who didn't leave sons ki im banos, but daughters afterwards, banos ketanos, small daughters, young daughters under bas mitzvah. Benois chamesh v'sheish shanim, 5 or 6 years old. Omrim sham hakaddish. These little girls say kaddish, or one of them says kaddish. Maybe they have a rota. But in the shul, which is specifically for tefillah, I've never seen such a thing that a woman would say Kaddish. The Eino Nachon, and it's not correct, that a woman should be in the shul at all. I don't care if she's a little girl or a grown woman. According to the Kabbalists, I wouldn't necessarily quote this widely, but you bring a woman into the men's, again, not talking about the Ezra's Noshim, they didn't have an Ezra's Noshim. And by the way, the Alt Neuschul in Prague,
which is not this shul, as far as I'm aware, also didn't have an Ezras Noshim. Now there's an Ezras Noshim, but they made it later. So you bring a girl into the main base of Medrash, into the base of Knesset, it's terrible. Umali katan nagadol. Why do I care if it's a 5-year-old or a 12-year-old? It's not acceptable. The lo yaisein avde oisan anashim. And those men who bring their little granddaughters or children, little girls into the shul, and even but I say katanis, the basic Knesset says, you know, they're not doing the right thing. But he says, what can I do? They won't listen to me. You know, they bring them anyway, so I'm not going to give them musa. They're just going to ignore me. But certainly not kaddish. Now again, do we have that attitude to kids in the shul? Maybe some places yes, some places no. I know certainly in what's that?
Depends how they behave.
Oh, well, I'm English. It depends entirely on how they behave. and I have mastered my highly disapproving look when these children run up to the Arun Kodesh and they're you know running around and they're looking in. This, I mean, look, it's my Englishness. Nowadays, people in the middle of shul. I've seen this in the middle of the Rav's drosha. The Rav's standing there in shul, and someone takes his baby and they walk up behind the Rav, open the Arun Kodesh to kiss. You know, this beautiful chinuch, very very nice. But like, okay, so in London, there was a shul in London where the Arun Kodesh was roped off. It said no entry. Okay. So I understand, and the gabbai had to unclick, you know, the rope. That's already a little bit too much, but I say to my grandchildren, if they listen to me, or they do now, but let's see when they're older, you can't run up there because it's a Makom Kaddish, and you can't just run up to a Makom Kaddish, and you could always tell them the story of Nadav and Avihu and see if that puts them off. I haven't got to that yet, children in shul, he's not happy with. But interestingly, there was this ancient minhag for little girls to say
children
Kaddish.
Or girls?
Girls. But no, he said girls.
Yeah. And the boys is okay.
The boys is not a Kiddush. The boy could say it in shul. But that even the little girls, 5-6 years old, because this was a mixed area, there was no machitz, there was no tefillah, etc., etc. The steichem, go on to page number 7. We've got loads to do. The steichem, number 31. Let's go. Says the Steichemid, he is Sephardic. He is in Turkey. He was a Rav, Rav Chaim Medini. He was a Rav in Turkey in the Ottoman Empire. And he says as follows. First line. First he quotes the Chavos Yah, and then he says, V'hine, mikarav nish'alti. I've recently been asked, okay, mi'ir hasmucha, shirata echa mehakrim chakim. One of the krim chakim, I had to look at what that was, that means Jews from Crimea. One of the Jews from Crimea wanted to know, Shitoma Habat Kaddish Alavia, a little girl wanted to say Kaddish for, I don't know if it's a little girl, he says a daughter wanted to say Kaddish for her father. Shemeit Beloy Banim, had no children, Banim Sacharim. The Hashoel Akviadoi Ad Bar Tshuvati, and the Rav, who is putting this question to me, he wouldn't give an answer until he consulted with me. The Yishavdilayim, and I gave my answer, She'ein Rishayim L'shanot U'L'asot Chadasha Be'aretz, you can't start these new minhagim. The af in yesh minhag ze bein ha-ashkenazim, even though, and this is fascinating, he says, I know the Ashkenazim do this. Hine bein asfardim loy nishma davazeh. Now that's interesting. He thinks this is an Ashkenazi minhag, which he's not going to bring into Turkey. Was it an Ashkenazi minhag? So I brought you in the footnote a number of accounts. I'm not going to read through all of them. That there seems to have been a minhag, certainly by the late 1800s, maybe in his time, he was in the early 1800s, that there were people saying, women saying Kaddish in Lithuania and in Russia. I actually had a conversation with my great-grandmother, Alea Shalom. She lived to nearly 100 years old. She was sharp to the end. And she grew up in a little village called Ritava in Lithuania. And I said, what do you remember about your early days? She says, I remember going to shul to say Kaddish. Her father died when she was little. And I said, I remember when I was there with my wife, I said, you mean Bobby, I was called Bobby, that would be parents to them, you mean Yizkor? She goes, no, I don't mean Yizkor, I don't know what Yizkor is, I mean Kaddish. Which is, I said, okay, so my wife and I thought, look, maybe she's taka not as sharp as she used to be, whatever. And then I started working with Rav Yitzhak Shurin, who is my very good friend and colleague in Midrash Rachel. And he said his father, Rav Yisrael Shurin, who many people may have met from Efrat, when he was in Efrat, he also grew up in Ritzava, which is a bit coincidental because Ritzava was a small village. There were about 1,400 people there when we were talking about. And his father said he remembers distinctly from the 1920s that three sisters came into the back of the shul in Ritzava and said Kaddish for their father because there were no sons. So it seems like this was something which was done. I brought you in, at least in those places, Rabbi Morris Lamb, I brought you in the footnotes. Quotes Rav Soloveitchik is reporting that when he was in Vilna, when Rav Soloveitchik was in Vilna, in the cloister of the Vilna Gaon, there were women saying Kaddish. Now, I don't know if they said that when the Vilna Gaon was there in the 1780s. I can't tell you that. But when the Rav was there in the 1930s, late 20s, early 30s, then that was going on. And there are many other examples. Joel Wolowelski has an interesting article on this, Women and Kaddish, which he then put into his book, where he checks in with Rav Bick, Rav Ezra Bick, from Gush Etzion in the yeshiva. Rav Bick says he checked around and many people said that they did hear that women said Kaddish in Europe. His grandfather's shul, Rav Chaim Yechiel Bick in Mezhibush, there were women who said Kaddish there. And I brought you many other examples. Rav Chaim Ozzy Grzinski allowed a woman to say Kaddish. The Chofetz Chaim apparently allowed a woman to say Kaddish in shul. And again, these are all obviously anecdotal, but these accounts have been collected quite carefully. Rav Yosef Henkin said when he was growing up in Russia, he remembers women saying Kaddish in his shul. So there are too many people saying this for it to be, Bubba Mises. Even though it was my Bubba that gave me the Mises. Okay. So there are, the word Bubba Mises, by the way, is nothing to do with Bubba. It's about a man called Bubba in Ukraine who used to tell tall tales. And it's nothing to do with your grandmother. But that's not for now. There are enough accounts that women used to say Kaddish that this, and the state cabinet says, yes, this was indeed an Ashkenazi minhag. Again, I'm not saying it was widespread in Galicia and in Hungary, although we'll see in a second, we'll see the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Hungary. Look in 32 and 33. The Be'er Hativ appears on the page of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah gave strict instructions. When they printed the Mishnah Berurah, they insisted that it had not only his parish, the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar HaTzion, the Bir Halacha, but also the Be'er Hativ and the Shaar HaTzion. He insisted that he had those as well. And therefore you read in the Be'er Hativ as follows. Number 32. Ubechuvas Knesset Yecheskel. He brings from the Knesset Yecheskel, who was also in Germany in the 1700s. Kasav de Dafke ben Haben. And he's talking not about a woman, but who says the Kaddish? Is it the son's son or is it the daughter's son? What if I want to say a Kaddish for a grandparent, but it's my mother's father? He says, no, a ben Haben has Kaddish. Avel ben Habat lo yom Kaddish. Doesn't have Kaddish. V'kol shekein lebat ein lo Kaddish klal lebet Knesset. Women have no Kaddish in shul. Said the Knesset Yecheskel. And then the Be'er Hativ says, Ve'im roitzim la'aso isla minyan, but if she wants to make a private minyan, reshus b'yada, she can do that. Now the Knesset Yecheskel never said that. If you look in the Knesset Yecheskel, he says, no way, no how, no where. Not just shul. But the Be'er Hativ says, I don't have a problem with shul. With a minyan, rather. With a private minyan. He said, that is based on the Shavuos Yaakov. And now look at the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is Hungarian. He's not inclined to unusual leniencies. Okay? The Hungarians had a lot of chumras. Look what he says, number 33. Habat ein olam kaddish bebeis haknesses. A girl cannot say, a woman cannot say, a daughter cannot say in the shul. Ach, yesh omrim she'im roitzen la'asom meminyim bebeita. If she wants to make a minion in her house, she'tom ha'sham ha'rushus be'yodah, she can do that if she wants. V'yesh omrim degam zoit ein la'asot. And other people say she shouldn't do this even in the house. He brings you two opinions. He doesn't paskin on it. He says there are people who do this, and there are people that do that. And honestly, if the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that this was something that he's okay with, if that's your minhag, then clearly I think this was something that was happening across Ashkenazi Eastern Europe in different places. Okay, Adkan, the pre-20th century poskim. There are other people as well. I brought you just a reference here to someone called Eliezer Zalman Graevsky. I hadn't heard of him before. He wrote a sefer on Kaddish, which has a haskama from Shmuel Salant. In the Old City, and he says there that women, not just daughters, can say Kaddish even in shul. You can look at that, you can look at the sources there. But let's look at the 20th century, and I'm not going to read every single word on this page, but there's some very interesting things going on. Let's start with two Sephardi poskim, and I'm going to summarize page 8 for you. Number 34 is Rav Uziel, Rav Ben Zion Uziel, the Sephardi chief rabbi. He wrote a tshuva in 1942 on the question of women and Kaddish. And he says, women cannot say Kaddish. Basically, he says, I have no issue that women give a schut to their parents. He says, lehefach, women give a schut to all of Am Yisrael. Look at we only got out of Egypt because of the Nashim Sid Kaniyot. He says, it's not an issue of women's schut. He says, however, I don't want to mess around with Kabbalistic minhagim. The whole origin of Mourner's Kaddish is the story of Rabbi Kiva and the ghost, and he got him out of Gehenna. He said, You can't start with svaras and say, well, if it works for a son, mistama, it works for a daughter. He says, I mean, who says you can do that? They said a son, they mean a son. Maybe there's something terrible about a daughter saying Kaddish, Kabbalistically and mystically. I don't know, I'm not going to get involved. And he says, and if you wanted to ask me to suggest maybe why it could only be a son, it's because the sons make up the minyan. And maybe that feeds into the Kabbalistic ideas, but I'm not going to allow women to say Kaddish, which is very interesting. I mean, this is not the same issue, but on the question of women's voting, nothing to do with this at all. When there was a Shaila asked in the new Yishuv in the 1920s when they had their first election for the new Yishuv, and Rav Maimon was organizing, etc., they asked all the Poskim, are women allowed to vote in that election? And all the Poskim, Rav Cook, the old Yishuv, everyone said no. Except Rav Uziel. And Rav Uziel was the one that said yes. And again, it's completely different lomdas as to why women, he said, could vote, but can't say Kaddish. So you can't just say, well, he didn't like women doing things. I know it's a Maratzisha thing to say. But on Kaddish, he said no. Other places, different Sfaras. But then later on, Rav Chaim David Halevi, also Sephardi, chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. I think he was Sephardi, no? Chaim David Halevi? Yeah. And he turns around and he says, in principle, I don't see why it's such a big question. And he says, I don't think, and you can read this yourself, I brought lots of homework for you. He says, I don't think it's going to lead the rabbinic system into disrepute now. I don't think it's going to be a joke. I don't think people are going to start flying off and joining the reform movement just because a woman says Kaddish and Shul. And he says, and the Shvus Yaakov, who said that this little girl can say it in the minyan, he wasn't just a lone opinion. There are people who want to say, if you look in the more Haredi poskim on this, they say, the Shvus Yaakov, but he's the only one who said that. He says, no, he's not the only one who said it, number one. We just saw the kids of Shulchan Aruch says a similar thing as the Yesh Omrim. And he says, and the reason he had no problem with the daughter is because there was no problem with the daughter. The question was on the grandfather. Remember? Can he say Kaddish? So he says, I don't think it's a problem of precedent. There's enough precedent to say it. But again, he said, my problem is sneers. I have a major issue with women standing up in a shul, or even, he says, women standing up at a funeral. Is a woman at a funeral allowed to say Kaddish? And this is obviously a very emotive, very emotional issue. Let's say there are no sons, there's only daughters, and they go to the funeral. Now, come, Minhag Yerushalayim, maybe they're not even at the funeral because they don't let the children go, but okay, that's a separate issue. But there are women who want to say Kaddish, and many, depends on your Chevra Kaddisha. You have to pick your Chevra Kaddisha as to whether sometimes you couldn't get a choice as to which is the Chevra Kaddisha. But certainly, I've been to funerals where women do say Kaddish here in Eretz Israel, and also where women don't. In London, this was a major issue, even where the women could come into the Basic Forest. And there was a lot of issues there. But he says, I don't want the women to say Kaddish at a funeral either because it's just too public. And there are men focusing in on her, and he says, it's poshut. I think it's the wrong thing to do. And he's unhappy with that. But not with the issue of the Kaddish in principle. And therefore, he says, just look at the last line. He said, I don't even want a woman to say Kaddish at a shiva house because a shiva house is open to the public. But if there's a family minion, close friends and family, he says, then I don't have a problem with her saying Kaddish, but not in the shul. There was an account, by the way, I'll say this in parenthesis, I didn't put it on the sheet. There was a woman in America who wanted to say Kaddish. I assume she was in Cincinnati. And there was no, it was at a funeral and there was no minion. And they said, you can't say Kaddish in the minion. And Rabbi Eliezer Silver, who was a posek, major posek in Cincinnati, told her that they could make a minion, quotes and quotes, of women to enable her to say Kaddish at the funeral. And I would have said, like, I can't quote that because, like, you know, it's just a story. Except that Rav Shechter quotes it to say that he disagrees with it. Okay? So I don't have any doubt that it happened. But that was really a fringe opinion. But it's out there, etc. But if you look in many poskim, you'll see, I brought here at the bottom of page 8, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak, he's not happy with women saying Kaddish, largely because of the women. There's a Snoshim issue, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, Rav Vadi Yosef is unhappy. Although I found people that said that his son, Rav Avraham Yosef, allowed women to say Kaddish. Rav Lau, interestingly. Now, if you'd have asked me in a very kind of Amoratish way to guess, what would Rav Lau say about women saying Kaddish? I don't know, I might have said, well, Rav Lau, he's very broad-minded. Rav Yisrael Lau, no Kaddish. He feels that it'll strengthen the reform movement significantly. And now I'm going to do something a little bit cheeky. Go to the top of page 9. And we've got 5 or 6 minutes left. Therefore, I brought you. If you, you know, I bought many, many years ago in the 1990s a big black article book called Morning in Halacha. Big black, you know the big black book? That was the only book out there then. And I quote three lines from it. It's an article book. I'm not surprised that it says that women shouldn't say Kaddish. Okay. He quotes there, if the deceased left only daughters, although some, if the deceased left only daughters, although some have permitted a daughter to recite Kaddish at a prayer service in her home, comma, virtually all other poskim disagree and rule that a daughter should not recite Kaddish even in her home and even if her father commanded her to do so. Now, the word that I find most interesting in that three lines, those three lines, is virtually. Because I looked it up in the original Hebrew. Morning in Halacha is an English adaptation of the Sefer Pnei Baruch. And in the Pnei Baruch, he doesn't say virtually. He says, Aval kol ha-poskim. Kol ha-poskim is not virtually. Why did the English editors of the article Morning in Halacha feel they couldn't get away with this adaptation without putting in the word virtually? Who is in the not virtually? And the answer is, some of the most significant American poskim of the 20th century. And that's, I think, why the word virtually appears there. Who are they? So, Rav Henkin. And again, we're going to have to summarize some of this. Rav Henkin was the first to come out clearly, at least Rav Yehuda Henkin, his grandson, says he was the first clearly in writing to say that he permits a woman to say Kaddish from the Ezrat Nashim. He came out with a psak in 1946, which was quite permissive. And said, even if she were to come into the main shul, I would allow it. And he got a lot of pushback. And in 1963, he came out with a less expansive heter. He says, basically, if a woman wants to say Kaddish in the Ezra's Nashim, and he says, and just look at the first line, the beginning here, and she's a from woman, meaning she's a woman who is observant in other areas, not just in this area, she wants the Afka to come. She calls Zehemi Karim, she wants to say Kaddish in the group, not on her own, in the group of men, but they're saying in the shul. Efsha she'ein kapeda. That's not a very strong heta. Efsha she'ein kapeda. But he says Efsha she'ein kapeda. I'm not sure there's a problem with that. But then he says, if she comes dressed belavush America, if she comes dressed in Levush America, he said, no way. No way if she comes dressed belavush America in 1963. That's, 1963. Look at the way people were dressed at Kennedy's assassination or whatever. So you think this is very tsanua by comparison with 2024 Levush America. But anyway, he says not if she's not tsanua, etc., etc. So he definitely gives a heter, but he did take back a little bit of his initial enthusiasm, but he permits it in the women's gallery together with the men. Rav Moshe Feinstein never spoke explicitly about this, but he has a throwaway line which is very interesting. Look what he says, 38. He's talking about the issue of mechitza. Do you need a mechitza if you're davening outside a fixed shul and there's only one or two women there? Nothing to do with women in Kaddish. He says, Shaila, im sarich mechitza lachzotz rak b'nei isha or achat or shtay. And then he goes on to say, v'hini b'komet dorot, it was always the case, nagu shelefamim haitzai nechneset isha, Aniya lebet midrash lekabel tzedakah. Women always used to walk into the bet midrash to collect tzedakah or avela lova kaddish, or to say kaddish. And he just goes on. He doesn't give a heter to women to say kaddish, but he says women always said kaddish in the bet midrash, which fits with what we said before about Lithuania, which is interesting. So I can't say Rav Moshe Feinstein is one of the matirim, but he certainly accepts that this was the case. Rav Tukachinsky in the Gesher Achaim. Now, Tukachinsky is the very much the kind of last word in many ways. Sitting in Eretz Yisrael on Minhage Avelis, Hilchas Avelis. He brings down Minhagim. I'm not going to read it now. He says some people allow it only in the house. Some people allow it in the shul. He brings down the different Minhagim. The only one he doesn't bring down is some people don't allow it at all. That's the only one he doesn't quote, which is interesting. So Tukachinsky says, you know, you follow your Minhag. Rav Soloveitchik. Is very clearly on record by many, many different people as saying that a woman could say Kaddish from the women's section, from the Ezrat Nashim, together with men saying Kaddish, and even if men weren't saying Kaddish. Because they asked, even if a woman's not going Kaddish, he said, no, it's okay. In Maimo, in the school in Boston, there are accounts of women saying Kaddish. But this is attested by many, many of the Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik. I don't think there's any doubt about it. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was asked about women saying Kaddish. He said, and I brought you actually footnote 39. It's interesting to note that in 1959, the renowned Chassid Rav David Bravman from Kfar Chabad passed away, leaving four young unmarried daughters and no sons. His father-in-law, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Raskin, asked the Rebbe what should be done regarding Kaddish, whether the daughter should recite Kaddish or someone else. The Rebbe responded that he should consult with Rabbonei Anash. Anash, Ansei Shlomeinu. And I brought you the quote from the letter of the Rebbe in the bottom, number 39, who said that the daughter should say Kaddish, and they said Kaddish. So the Rebbe didn't specifically say, but he allowed that to happen. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, has a more famous piece where he comes out and says, you know something, I'm worried about the slippery slope, but there's a slippery slope in both directions. He said, there is a slippery slope that if we allow new minhagim, then that could weaken Minhag Yisrael and strengthen Reform and Conservative. However, he said, there's another side. He doesn't put it exactly this way, but he said there's another side of the slippery slope, which is if we keep saying no to women when they ask us for things that are actually permitted, then eventually they're going to stop asking. And they're going to just say, you know something, if you prohibit that which is really permitted, then I'm going to permit that which is really prohibited. So he says there's a slippery slope the other way, and you need to be careful about that. And therefore he said this is not something we should be arguing about. If the woman says Kaddish in the Ezra's Nashim, he says she should not be stopped from doing it. And I brought you on the top of page 11, you can read the rest of the sheet for yourself. Rav Scheinberg is on record as permitting this. Rav Henkin, the grandson, Rav Yehuda Henkin, has an extensive tshuva on it. Rav Shechter rules in the name of the Rav that it follows the minhag of the shul. The British Chief Rabbi's office has a whole pamphlet on women saying Kaddish. They say only when the men are also saying it. Rav Rimon in our shul in our shvut, it's very interesting. There are women who say Kaddish. However, he permits it only when there are other men saying Kaddish. So we had a problem in the shul because, you know, sometimes there was a woman who wants to say Kaddish and there's no men saying Kaddish. So what are we going to do? And it was a tumble, it was a balagan, the woman starts saying it, all of a sudden a man jumps in and starts saying it. So now we have a 21st century solution. We have a button in the Ezra's Nashim, okay? And when there's a woman there that wants to say Kaddish, she presses the button, and a little light comes on the amud downstairs, don't ask me how it works, it's all smoke and mirrors, but it works. And it says Kaddish, and then the Shliach Tzibur knows he has to say Kaddish, which is interesting. I spoke to Rav Rimon about it. He said he didn't really like the whole thing, but he did it because that's what people wanted, and he said it's okay. And I brought you there Rav Lichtenstein and Migdal Oz, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, look, what's the bottom line? Please ask your local Posek. there's a lot of precedent behind this. And I brought you at the end some of the considerations, some of the policy considerations, backwards and forwards, some of the ideas. You can really hear it both ways. So I leave you with those thoughts. And for families, you know, my parents-in-law should live at Meva Esrim Shana. But they have three daughters, no sons, and the three daughters are very makpid on the kibbut Ava'im. At Meva Esrim, this is something that they take very seriously, and many other women do as well. So happy to hear your thoughts, and I'm sorry for going a minute or two over, but given that it's